Most of us are very familiar with the term infinity. It's very easy to remember. This is infinity. Matter of fact, that's all we know about infinity, is that symbol. Infinity was an interesting concept because it takes into its domain everything that we don't know about. It's really easy to, that way, this is the way that human beings think, or at least the way Western man has been taught to think, Western mankind. And so infinity kind of loses its perspective. So I thought I would start out with the term finite. Let's talk about time for a moment, and let's get an idea of how the ancient Indian scriptures, specifically Bhagavad Gita, looks at time. And then they look at it in, incidentally, a finite way. So we're going to start by having our concept of time grow. Because if we're going to talk about life eternal, we better have an idea of some kind of finite time here and get some ideas. So the first and smallest span of time, according to the Vedic scriptures, is called Kali Yuga, K-A-L-I, Yuga, Y-U-G-A, Kali Yuga. Now, it's interesting, we happen to be living in Kali Yuga, which is a time when 99% of the population of the planet is ignorant, and 1% of the population of the planet is enlightened. It's an interesting time to live. Kali Yuga lasts for 432,000 years. This is the smallest unit of time. 432,000 years of Kali Yuga. The next yuga is called Dvarpa Yuga. And Dvarpa Yuga lasts 864,000 years. That's a six. The next is called Treta Yuga. And that's time is 1,728,000 years. And the last part of this group of yugas is known as Sat Yuga. And Sat Yuga lasts, oh wait, that was 1.7. These figures obviously don't mean a lot here, but okay, so here's the point. One entire yuga, if you add this up, it won't work out because I wrote down the wrong number here. Here, I'll put this down. Now it'll work. This is 96. Okay, one entire yuga, is equals 4,320,000 years. That's one yuga. And incidentally, that's called a Chatur Yugi, which is C-H-A-T. Boy, this is really rough. A-R-U-G-I. So that's one, 4,320,000 years. Sat Yuga is the time when 99% of the population is enlightened and 1% of the population is ignorant. Interesting, isn't it? That's the longest time. That's the longest time. This is also the smallest unit of time, this totality, 4,320,000 years. If you take 71 of those, 71 times that figure, times this figure, 4.3 million. I'm going to round these off now because they're getting long. That equals what is called a life, actually it's manu. Have you ever heard the term manu? You're wondering what that means? Well, manu is roughly 306 billion, that's right, with a B, years. You're probably saying to yourself, why do I have to know this? The reason you're going to know this today is because I want you to expand your boundaries on time here. I want to talk about finite. I want to forget about infinity. We're going to talk about finite. After all, this is just a tiny speck in infinity, isn't it? Manu, 306 billion years. You getting the idea here? My goodness, if God was mortal, if God is mortal and has a lifespan of 1 billion years, for us that might as well be eternal, right? Can anyone here conceive of 1 billion years? You see what I mean? Anyone here conceive of 1,000 years? You see? All right. I don't want this to get boring, but we're going to kind of move really quickly. I'll leave these up here for a second because that's kind of nice to know. All right, so moving along. If you put 14 manus together, that's 14 times 306 million years. You end up with what is called one day in the life of Brahma. One day in the life of Brahma. One day. Okay? Frankly, that is... Did I say billion before? Mm-hmm. I apologize. I'm jumping ahead. It was only million. I'm sure that changes everything a lot, doesn't it? Anyway, we're moving into billion now. I'm sorry, it was million with an M, not billion. Here, this is what we're looking at. 4.3 billion years is one day in the life of Brahma. Now, there were 30 days to a month of Brahma, 12 months to a year of Brahma, and 100 years to a lifespan of Brahma. That means that one lifespan of Brahma, equals 100 trillion, that's with a TR, trillion, years. The lifespan of Brahma. This is finite information, folks. This is not infinity. This isn't even near infinity. It's kind of a little growth process here. 100 trillion years in the lifespan of Brahma. At this point, we're saying, why do I need to know this? It's good to know. It's good to know. It's good to be able to say to someone, did you know that the lifespan of Brahma was 100 trillion years? It's better than, you know, how many members of the Flintstone family were there. Okay, let's talk about Lord Vishnu. These are names you've heard, but let's find out what they're really about. How long does Lord Vishnu live? Lord Vishnu is 1,000 lifespans of Brahma. I'm not going to write that down. 1,000 times 100. Yeah, well, anyway, 1,000 lifespans of Brahma is 1,000 times 1,000 trillion years. Lord Shiva, wait a minute, who said that?
I lived that long.
This is how long you have been here. This is how long you've been here. And you're talking about life eternal? I'm just talking about finite numbers right now. Lord Shiva, we just talked about Lord Vishnu. Lord Shiva is 1,000 lifespans of Lord Vishnu. That's 1 million times 1,000 trillion years. This is a big number. 1 million times 1,000 trillion years. That was Lord Shiva's lifespan. Now, one more. This doesn't go on forever. Fortunately, the talk is not infinitely long. There's one more. How many have ever heard the concept of one? How many have heard the concept of a divine mother? Mother divine. What is mother divine? Mother divine is 1,000 lifespans of Lord Vishnu. Let's see, I think I wrote that down. Let's write it this way. 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years. Okay? This is one Mother Divine. Now, why did I have to bring you to this point? So that I could read a sentence from Bhagavad Gita, which says, the eternity of eternal life is conceived in terms of innumerable lives of Mother Divine. Innumerable lives. That's infinity. So infinite lives of 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years. Now you say to yourself, this is ridiculous. Right? I mean, is there anyone here at this point isn't saying that? Why would a guy stand up and talk about this? It's so unbelievable. What is the point? What could this possibly lead to? The point and the name of the talk was Life Eternal. And this is life in finite numbers. This is not eternity. This isn't eternity. This is finite. 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years. And our history, the history that we hold dear to our hearts, how far back does it go? 6,000 years, maybe. What could we possibly know about life eternal if all that we know about is less than 6,000 years old? When someone says to you, historically, that's not correct, that could not have happened, that's ridiculous, there's no such thing. One thing you know for sure, maybe it hasn't happened in the last 6,000 years, that's all. Now, I said before, when the remark was made, what was that remark? some remark. I said, you have been here all of this time. How is it that you could be here for 1 billion? I mean, this is just one possibility. Let's say you've only been here for one Mother Divine. How could you have been here for 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years and not know it? Who said you didn't learn anything, though? The first question is, how could you possibly have missed something that took that much time? Right? How could that be possible? There is no beginning and there is no end. So here's the problem. Why then do we want to have a beginning and an end? Because we can't stand this. This is why we do it. People want to know, why do you choose to have the veil of ignorance drop over you when you're born? Because you don't want to know. Right now, you're resting. This is rest. You're only going to be alive for 60 or 70 or maybe 100 years. And you're saying, thank God, there's a beginning and an end to this. Because there isn't. There never was a beginning and there never was an end. It's just a little game that you decided to play to get some rest because you've been here for this amount of time. So we play a game. And here's the game we play. Here it is. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to say a word. Let's see if you can figure out what I'm doing. Anyone want to speak up and say what I'm doing? All right. I'm going to tell you. I'm forgetting what just happened. I'm going to say I don't know. I forgot. I just wiped the blackboard clean. Right? I'm going to forget. I'm going to forget that I've been here for 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, 60 or 70 or 40 or 20 years, whatever. We don't want to remember. When people go and have life readings done to remember their reincarnations or their incarnations, I have no opinion about it, but frankly, if you ask me, it's a waste of time. No human being who gives you a life regression can account for 1 billion, 1,000 trillion years. So what is it that you do? What do you do today? You think of highlights in your life. Half of us can't remember what happened this morning. How could we possibly remember what happened 2 weeks ago? And who wants to even try to remember what happened 10,000 million lifetimes ago? Not me. We don't want to remember. So what do we create? We create a library. We create a library of books, books called Bruce Stephen Holmes, 1947 until whenever it stops. That's a book. Is the book being read now? We don't know. We don't know. I can tell you right now, none of this is happening. None of this is happening now. This all happened. This all happened so long ago that we can't even remember when it happened. Who's having this experience then? I'm having the experience. I'm the only one having the experience right now. I'm the only one. See, I'm talking. I'm the only one who's having the experience. But you can stand up and face the audience and say, I'm the only one having this experience right now. Each one of us is having our own personal experience right now, and nobody else is in on our experience. We can share it, but what can we share? Have you ever tried to share a feeling with someone? It's a waste of time. You get up in the morning and you say, God, look at that sky. And the person next to you says, And you want to say, if I could get inside you and show you what I'm experiencing, I can't. Because of the physical body. The physical body. The physical body creates limitations, but frankly, it's exactly what all of us wanted. We all stood in line to get here. We spent thousands or hundreds of years preparing so that we could have this rest. How many of you think you've been resting? Nobody. No one thinks they've been resting. But this is a rest. Do you know why? Because we have a beginning and an ending to it. We get up every morning and we thank God that we have a beginning and an end. And yet, what do we talk about? Life eternal. We talk about the concept of life eternal like it's a new concept. It's something that all of us wish we could experience. We're already experiencing it. We just chose to forget it. So what is this point? What is going on here? We want to have a moment. We want to have a moment. And that's what this is. It's a moment. Treasure this moment. We are not aging. All that's happening is this thing we're wearing is wearing out. That's it. Some people spend their lifetime trying to keep this thing young. Go ahead. How long do you want to be here? It's your choice. You can be here for how long? 100 years. Are you sure you want to wear the same coat for 100 billion years? What is this thing for? It's got a lot of purposes. It's a vehicle. It's just to get you from, and watch carefully, from here to here, through there. Does that make any sense? From here to here, through there. That's how ridiculous this thing can be when you try to think of it. The mind cannot conceive of this. You know, people write books about it, I'm talking about it. This is ridiculous. It's a joke, but you know, we try. We're having fun. We're having fun. How big then? How big is this thing? How big is this? If you came to my talk, I showed this little thing here. Here we are down here in what's called the foundations. Physicality, planetary worlds. Above that, or not above that, but next comes the extraterrestrial populations. You know, This is a neighborhood that we've just opened the front door of our house, and we're looking out, and we're discovering that it's a neighborhood. We thought that we were the only ones. That's how silly our game has been so far. Now we're opening up the door, and we're going to look outside, and we're seeing that we live in a neighborhood, and there are bullies on the block. There are bullies on the block. Some people are getting abducted by these bullies. Do you look at the neighborhood from the viewpoint of a kidnapper? How many people do you know get kidnapped every day? Nobody, probably, but you might know someone who got kidnapped. So why should we spend our time talking about abductees? I mean, I'm very sorry about the fact that they got abducted, but I mean, I'm not going to spend my whole life reading books about abductees. How about books about kidnappers? How about books about pirates? What's new there? What's new there? Nothing. There's nothing new there. So how do I going to learn about my neighborhood? Well, if there's a bully down the block, let's make sure we just don't go near the bully, that's all. Who is he? Let's identify the bully and stay away from him. We already know. The grays, the gray extraterrestrials. And what can't they do? They cannot manipulate you if you what? If you surround yourself with the light of Christ, or the light, white light, or just a very simple thing. What does that mean? Just keep yourself clean, you know? They can't do anything. It's like the bully on the block. Can't chase you if you're home. You carry your home around with you, that's all. Extraterrestrial populations, well, only about a half of 1% are bullies, if even that many. The rest of them are good guys. And what does extraterrestrial mean? Anyone remember from my talk? That's right, not of this planet. That's all it means. Not of this planet. Big deal, not of this planet, right? How many planets are there that can support life? Anyone hear this? Scientists have been telling us for years. If they make the most conservative estimates, it's billions. Billions of planets having life in how many years? I should probably write it back down so I can remember it. 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years. Next, the brotherhoods governing physical and spiritual planes. Spiritual and physical planes. Here they are. Physical and spiritual planes of reality. Remember, this was just the brotherhoods governing this stuff. We didn't even go up the chart yet. Just this stuff. Earth, the physical plane, the lowest astral, the intermediate astral, the highest astral, the mental and causal, the celestial, the cosmic. This is where the Godhead is. The end of manifest creation. Big deal. The end of manifest creation. The end of being able to see it, touch it, hear it, feel it. What's next? Something else. I don't know what it is. 9, the void. The void, pure consciousness. Then people say, pure consciousness, that's it. No, that's not it. Next comes nirvana. Nirvana is after pure consciousness and other higher states of consciousness, which we can't conceive of, so we don't bother talking about them and we don't name them. Why? Why am I doing this? Because today, in order for me to talk about eternal life, we've got to find out how big this thing is. How big is it? Okay, we just finished that area, didn't we? Next comes the office of the Christ, or the 144,000 ascended masters. Remember those guys? 144,000? Let's not get into the number, but anyway, there's a lot of them. And what happens? Somewhere along the line, we end up with what's called the Sun Universe, S-O-N. You know, the Father, the Son, this whole thing kind of gets convoluted in the Bible and other religions. But anyway, the Sun Universe. And what is the Sun Universe? It is the mirror image of the Father Universe, which is the real universe. And this is universe, incidentally, not our little you know, universe that we live in, which is what, remember the word, infinite? Actually, we live in a finite universe, but it's so big they decided to say it was infinite. Do you know why? Because they can't figure out how to put an infinity into an infinity. Because if the universe is infinite and there are many universes, how do you have that? It doesn't make any sense. Then we finally move up here to the Paradise Suns. Metatron is an interesting name. I'm not going to tell you about these guys, but hear that name, Metatron. And we come up finally to the creator gods, including Yahweh, the 24 elders of the throne, and the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days, the Ancient of Days is the guy that, or the story that got everybody in trouble in the first place. Because when Lucifer went out, you know what Lucifer said? This is what Lucifer said. This is what the whole thing is about, this bad thing that he did. I'm not saying right or wrong, I'm just going to tell you a story. Lucifer said, "I have never seen the Ancient of Days, have you?" And everyone he talked to said, "No, I've never seen the Ancient of Days either, have you?" So Lucifer said, "Okay, since nobody's ever seen the Ancient of Days, maybe the Ancient of Days doesn't exist. What do you think?" Everybody said, "I don't know." So Lucifer said, "How many of you want to come with me?" That was it. That's what Lucifer said. "How many of you want to come with me?" There's a lot more to the story, but you might be interested to know. Do you know what Lucifer's idea was? I'm going to tell you because I know that it's a nice small group and you can handle this. It's the basis of our Constitution. Right? The basis of our Constitution. That you have certain inalienable rights. You don't have inalienable rights. That's what Lucifer said. He said, "You have certain inalienable rights. You can serve yourself if you want to." That's what our Constitution says. Basically, you have the right to do what everybody thinks they want to do. You're free to choose. That's what Lucifer said. That's Lucifer's sin. That's what sin is about. Because you know what? You don't have the freedom to choose. That doesn't mean anything's been taken away from you. The illusion is that you're free. You are not free. You just think you are. It's like an idea. So what's the problem? If you have the thought that you're free and you really aren't free, what happens? Conflict. Animals don't have that conflict. See, animals don't have the thought that they're free. They don't have a thought. They live in harmony with nature. They are nature. They are God. Our problem is we think that there is a division between ourselves and God. How big is this thing anyway? That's what I said. It's big. It's really big. Now, this does not lessen the information in all of the religious doctrines on the planet. Because all of those religious doctrines are ways for you to learn how to grow or to evolve. But here it comes again. I'm going to warn you before I say it. Can you speed up evolution? Yes, you can. No, you can't. Both answers are right. Let's take you can't speed up evolution. You know why you can't speed it up? Because it goes on with or without you. Evolution is going on with or without your permission. Get up in the morning and say this: "I am not going to grow today." See how that does. All right, if evolution goes on with you or without you, and you can't speed it up, then what's the next possibility? You can speed it up. That's another possibility. After all, there's no right or wrong, no on or off. Those are all ideas that are here. So what is the point then? If evolution can be sped up, what is it that you can do? You can intend. You can intend to do something. Now, we don't know for sure whether a cat can intend to do something. We presume that they have intention, but we don't know for sure what's going on in that animal kingdom out there. Because there are those who say the animal kingdom is being led around by laws of nature, and that they're just participating. Now, if that's what they're doing, and we're animals too, what's going on here? Are we participating with our knowledge, or are we participating without our knowledge? And if we're participating with or without our knowledge, and with or without our permission, then do we have the ability to intend to do anything? And the answer is, actually, you can intend to do something. That's the only gift, not the only gift, but that's one of the most important gifts that you have. The ability to intend to do something. Now, whether you can do it or not doesn't matter. That's not the point. Whether you can do it or not doesn't matter. It's whether you intend to do it. So let's take an example. There were fish that grew legs and came out on the land. Now, we know for a fact that that's happened somewhere, someplace. We don't know if it happened according to the way Darwin said it did, but we do know that it happened. Something got legs on it and went out and started walking around. So there must have been two groups. Those that intended to grow legs to go out on the land, and those that got legs by just sheer growth. So what's the point? It's the kick. It's the kick. The kick, the idea that you saw something and you intended to do it and it happened. So the fish that grew legs because they wanted to, they learned something that the others didn't learn. And you want to know something interesting? In Bhagavad Gita, it says no effort is lost. No effort. Nothing that you do is ever lost. That means that you carry with you in your genetic code, in your blueprint, in your chit, C-H-I-T, chit, the blueprint, you carry all of that with you wherever you go. So seizing the opportunity. Seizing the opportunity. So what are we doing then? We're all sitting here today seizing an opportunity. While other people are watching football or baseball or whatever, you are all finding out that you have the intention to do something. And you're learning how to intend to grow. Now, where does that put you? It doesn't really put you in anything different. You ever wonder, what's the difference between a person who's enlightened and a person who's not enlightened? On the outside, each one of them has to pay 50 cents for a cup of coffee. There's no difference. So what's happening is the experience inside. That's what's happening. And when we talk about life eternal, if you're going to be here for 100 billion, 1,000 trillion years, give or take a few, what could be more fun than to be actively involved in your own life? Right? Actively involved, as opposed to passively involved in your own life. So what's the difference? What's the difference? That's it. Those people who are actively involved don't get anywhere different. They don't go someplace that the people who were passively involved don't get to go to. That's one of the things that sometimes I think religion has been unfortunately involved in. This idea of there are those who are going to perish and those who are going to live forever. Would you like to perish after living this long? It's a dream, you'd love to. You say, my goodness, the idea of not being here might be something interesting, but it won't happen. You cannot not be here. However, individuality does not have infinity involved in it. Individuality is finite. This is individuality. 75 years or 130 years or 500,000 years, that's individuality. And you get your choice. And for that amount of time, you get to be an individual. And then when that time is up, you don't get to be an individual anymore for a while. You get to be it. And it has no time, remember? So what do we want with individuality? Why do we want to go from being everything to being one small little thing? And the answer is, we want to reflect. We want to know once in a while that we're here. We want to create something to look at. We want to divide ourselves up into two parts, the observer and the observed, and the act of observing. That's what this is all about. So what is life eternal? Life eternal is a concept that is so ambiguous we might as well forget about it. Because we can't even live with the idea of life finitely. What is this number? Life in finite terms. 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years. What was that? 1 billion.
1 billion.
Yeah, 1 billion times, I can't even see it. Do it all. 1 billion times 1,000 trillion years. That is not life eternal. That's just finite living. So what is it that everyone then is looking for? We're looking, as the prodigal son was looking, we're looking to return, but the problem is we don't understand what we're trying to return towards. We get so caught up in this moment that we forget what a treasure this moment is. And we start talking about getting away from it, going back. I wish I could go back. I wish I could know about all my lifetimes. I don't want to be here. What a tragedy. It's the kick of intending to be here, getting here, living, and then going on that it's about, as opposed to the passive coming here, living here passively, and then dying. Which do you want to do? And when I first came in here today, someone made a remark. We were talking about changing a name. And someone said, I can't change my name now. I'm 62 years old. People have known my name for 62 years. And I'm thinking to myself, 62 years? Wow, I mean, what a number. 62 years. How many times have you lived 62 years? You can do anything you want on any day of your life that you want to do it. Because remember the quote? No effort is lost. No effort is lost. If you decide to take piano lessons tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. instead of listening to my show, do it. It doesn't matter how old you are. No effort is lost. That means that whatever you learn, you take with you. You keep. You're taking notes. This is self-empowerment on the grandest scale. This is life eternal. And that is the end of my talk. Thank you.
If we're taking notes, how come we can't access it?
Is that a question?
Yeah.
Okay, now, that's a good question, because one of the things that we have to understand is the limits of your vehicle. You know, if you go to a car dealership, let's start for a moment. Let's say we all know that there are hundreds or thousands of different cars, and they're from the lowest price range to price ranges that are incredible. So the first thing that we have to decide is, how much money do we have? Or how much, are you ready? Good karma do you have when you go out to order your vehicle?